Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Angie Mullings.
And I'm Tanya Murfin. And today we are talking real estate in Colorado. We have a guest on, and it's a good friend of mine, Laura McDonald. Welcome, Laura.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Hello.
For
You're welcome. Fellow realtor and friend, and you used to live here in Springfield, Missouri. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get started with kind of your background in real estate, how you got into real estate. And then we want to get into why you decided to move to Colorado.
Cool. Background. Well, so I was a bartender for forever. So met and knew a lot of people from bartending. And decided I was sick of staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning and I needed to go get a job where I could actually have some normal hours. So went into banking. Worked my way up at the bank I worked at as high as I could go without having a college degree. They said you couldn't be a bank officer without that piece of paper. So, I decided I was going to leave the bank and go get, my degree. But in the meantime, I only had a couple of credits left to take and I decided to get my real estate license. Reason for that decision was because the bank I worked at, one of my jobs was to help them get their foreclosed properties sold. So I had to work with the realtors that they hired to get the homes on the market, get them ready for market, get feedback, make sure it was priced properly, all that good stuff. And I would often watch what they were doing and think, I could do that job. I could do that. And I think I could do it better than they're doing it.
Yeah.
So the economy had just crashed, the market had crashed, and everyone thought I was crazy, but I was like, no, I'm going to go get my license. So started out 2011 and started selling foreclosures and short sales because that's the market we were in back then.
Yeah.
And started partnered with another agent, started as his buyer's agent and kind of his office assistant. So did all of that. That was a good way to get started if anybody's looking to get started in real estate, because you can kind of get paid an actual paycheck for doing some of those office duties, but then also get your foot in the door selling real estate, working with buyers, that sort of stuff. So started out that way and then, you know, learned and grew and eventually went off on my own. And of course met Tanya in the meantime, and she and I worked for the same company for a very long time. So I was, licensed in Missouri from 2011 until last year. Was it last year, the year before?
I think so.
Yeah. So yeah, a good chunk.
So you decided to up and move to Colorado. And I want you to tell what was behind that, but then also I want you to get into what it was like to start a new real estate business in another state, because we're hopeful that this episode will not only inspire people to not hold back on your dreams, but also some tips of, you know, starting a real estate business is not easy. And obviously, you moved to Colorado and didn't know hardly anybody. So give us kind of that background, Laura, and what it was like to start that new business. And then move into your tips and tricks for starting a brand new business in real estate.
And yeah, before you do that, sorry, but just for our listeners, what you may not know is that real estate is not the same across the country. So it does vary from state to state. So Laura had to go out there and learn new laws and different ways of dealing with things. And some things that are important here in Missouri, they don't have to deal with in Colorado and
vice versa. Yeah.
So yeah, just with that in mind, so our listeners kind of have a basis of understanding that just because you know how to sell real estate in Missouri, it's not necessarily the same in another state.
Right. So to your first question of why, I had lived in Missouri for 17 years, but I wasn't from Missouri. So I was born and raised in Madison, Wisconsin, moved to Missouri. And while I was happy and you know, enjoyed life, I also just kind of always had wanted to move. And so we started out talking about a 5-year plan. We put that out into the universe that in 5 years we were going to maybe move. And we originally started talking about Florida. So we started talking about, you know, let's go every year to a different part of Florida and explore and figure out where we want to plant for our next move. But during that time, we kept vacationing in Colorado. So our most recent in 2021 vacation in Colorado, we had gotten our camper like a lot of people did during COVID. And we had gone across the country. We'd gone up to Wyoming and done Yellowstone and then went down into Colorado, Estes Park and Rocky Mountain National Park. And as we were driving back to Missouri, I just said, I could live there tomorrow. I said, I have never had a better vacation. I left vacation feeling healthier, happier, just peace. And just said I could live there tomorrow. And I was like, this isn't just vacation mindset talking. I could truly see our lives there tomorrow. And my husband agreed. And the company he worked for at the time was international. And so he said, well, you know, I'll just tell my boss if there's ever an opportunity into Colorado that we would consider it. And so as soon as we got home, he called his boss and said that. And his boss said, well, I'm hiring there today. And the job is yours if you want it. And he said, and the only catch is, this was July. And he said, the only catch is it starts October 1st. So our 5-year plan was very expedited. But we definitely felt that the universe was kind of telling us that that was our next move. And so, yeah, so we put the house on the market and made it happen and got out here. Getting out here, so because I'd already kind of put that 5-year plan into my mind, I had already taken some steps in that direction as far as, okay, what does that look like? What is transitioning from one market to the next look like? I've coached, I've done real estate coaching for a long time, and my coach and I had these conversations about how do you change markets and what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And so the first important thing I needed to do was make sure that I could continue to run my 10-year business in Missouri. And not just walk away from that altogether, because I knew it was going to take time in Colorado to start to build it up here and to make money here. That doesn't happen instantaneously. So I was like, okay, how is this business going to run? And Tanya and I had these conversations too. And what does this look like? What's fair to the other agent as far as splits and that sort of thing? How often should I plan on coming back? I think our original conversation was I should come back every quarter. It did not happen, but I will blame the agents that I partnered with in Missouri for just being too good at their jobs. I didn't need to come back every quarter. But I would say that's the number one. If you're going to change markets, find a rockstar agent that you can refer your business to in your current market so that you know that your current database is really well taken care of and you feel really comfortable handing your clients over to them. And then the splits just worked out, I think. My first year, I still stayed very involved. And so I was getting like a 60 or 50-50 split. My second year, I was less involved and it was a 40 to me, 60 split. And then my third year being even less involved, it moved to a 30% split. And so the splits transitioned. And then in the meantime, I was building my business in Colorado. And so that flip-flopped the other direction. So while business started to decrease in Missouri, business started to increase in Colorado, and it really all balanced out, you know, perfectly. So that was good. Differences in Colorado and Missouri. Oh my gosh. So Colorado is very particular, very litigious. So the Missouri contract when I left, I'm not sure what it is today, but when I left, I think it was 8 pages. It is 22 pages of contract here.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah. So I remember when I first saw the contract, I was like, holy moly, I've got to learn this. And it's because in Missouri, you have a lot of different amendments and addendums that you attach to your contract. Well, those are all just pre-built into the Colorado contract.
Got it.
So there's different parts of it that are just, you know, applicable and others that aren't. Yes, it is. When you put your house under contract here, it's called active with backup versus in Missouri, it just goes under contract or pending. So you're always taking backup offers here, pretty much. The water and mineral rights situation here is vastly different. So you have to disclose where your water comes from for every property. So there's an actual disclosure for that. You have to disclose whether or not the mineral rights are being passed along with your property. So there's a lot of oil out here, a lot of drilling, a lot of oil leases. And the truth is, people don't really even know if they have their mineral rights out here because there's such a inner web of who's owned them for however many years, and it's all kind of a mess. So most clients, I just kind of advise them to assume they probably don't have their mineral rights, but they'll need to actually hire a mineral rights attorney to really dig into that for them. Yeah. So don't go trying to find gold on your property because you probably don't get to keep it. And the water is a big thing. So a lot of the water here comes from either a reservoir near your home or you have a well on your property. So if you have a well, it is permitted for only specific uses. So for example, right now I've got horse people that are looking for horse property and we're finding property with wells, but a lot of the wells are permitted only for residential use, meaning mm-hmm. you can't actually give your horses any water. Yeah. A lot of people want to buy a lot of land up here, but you can't get a well to support a lot of land. So what they'll do is they'll sell you a well on your property. You'll get 35 acres, but you're only allowed to irrigate an acre. Yeah, lots of stipulations with water. So that was a big learning curve. I don't know. That's
interesting.
A lot of laws to learn, a lot of legal stuff to learn that are just, you know, little things that are just different. But
so Laura, I have a question there. So these horse people in particular, so let's say they find a 35 acre farm and there is one well servicing the home only. How long might it take and which organization are you going through or which entity to try to get some sort of well on their property to feed their horses?
Yeah. So you have three options. First option is to try to go to the county and ask them if they will permit the well that you currently have for livestock. So you can go that route first. That's probably your easiest route to try. If they say no, your second route is to ask if they will permit your property for a second well and then go through the process and the cost of drilling a whole other well. And then your third option is to just get cisterns of water. Mm-hmm. And that's super popular in the mountains, especially because imagine you're in mountains, super high elevation. It's kind of hard to drill a well.
Yeah.
A lot of granite beneath you to get through. And so a lot of mountain properties don't have wells. They just have cisterns. Okay. And it's either a water company that comes up to your property and fills your cistern, or you take something, you know, into town and you fill it to bring back to fill your cistern.
That's so interesting.
It is interesting. And I think it's an important point for us to underline because here in Missouri, we don't have a shortage of water.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I've been listening to this, you know, from an economic development standpoint for years about how we have a lack of water. The further west you go, we have some serious challenges as a country when it comes to water and drilling and wells and all of that. And that would be something that would be hard for someone in Southwest Missouri to wrap their head around because we have such an abundance of water.
Yeah.
But it is also a tale of caution because Colorado hasn't always been like that. You know, there were times when water wasn't in such a shortage. And we've just become a society of we've not watched our water reserves and understood what it could do. And now we're there in Colorado and some other parts of the country. So it's a good lesson for all of us to learn that we need to be proactively taking a stance against overusage of water because it could happen anywhere.
It's true.
Yeah, you're not even allowed to collect your rainwater here without a permit.
Wow.
So in Missouri, it's popular to have those big barrels under your gutters so you can collect your rainwater, but not allowed here without a permit.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
So Laura, tell us, in starting your new business, because we're hoping this will be some sort of a resource for someone if they were thinking about being a realtor in another state and taking their business elsewhere, not being scared of that. And obviously, I'm sure there was a little bit of nervousness behind you moving, but I know you well enough that you are very resourceful when it comes to starting a new business and basically figuring out how you're going to get that business. So give us a few tips and the things that you did when you first got there to try to set up new leads and get to know people.
So I mentioned I have been in coaching. I recommend coaching, especially if you can find a coach that is nationwide, because then you're going to find a coach that can connect you with people that maybe already live where you're moving to. Mm. So before you make that move, you can reach out to them and ask them a lot of questions. So you can kind of know a little bit more about what to expect before you move. Or they'll put you in touch with agents that have done the same thing you're doing to get tips like we're talking about today. Lean on your agents. A lot of my business right now is agent referral. Mm-hmm. When you are looking for a brokerage, so obviously we were with Southwest Missouri Realty, so that is just in Missouri. So I wasn't able to stay in the same brokerage when I moved to Colorado. So if you're changing brokerages, look at brokerages that have agents throughout the state you're moving to, because what's happening with me right now is I have a lot of Denver agents and agents that live a little south of Denver, and I'm about an hour north. I get a lot of referrals from them because mm-hmm. they drive an hour north to sell real estate. So I would definitely find a brokerage where they aren't just in a small spot, but maybe throughout the state to where you can get some of those agent referrals. And then reaching out to networking groups, of course, chambers, local organizations. And what I did for networking, because a lot of those like B&I groups, they can be really hard to get into as a realtor. That's usually mm-hmm. the spot that's taken.
Right.
I just started my own. So I went on meetup.com, and on Meetup, you can go for free. And I just created a networking group and create something that you will enjoy going to. So for me, I made it twice a month because I was like, I don't want to commit to this every week.
Right.
But if we only do it once a month, then you probably aren't going to make the connections you really need to make. So we're mm-hmm. doing it twice a month. And I made it for lunches, and I like to eat and I like restaurants. And so I get to pick our lunch spot every time we meet. And so we're always supporting a different local restaurant. We're always eating local. I try to avoid the chains. And so it's a good way to get to know the town. You can do a highlight or a spotlight on the local restaurant and promote that in your real estate. And then of course you're getting to meet those new people that come to your networking group. With that group, I have like a core group of probably 12 people that come pretty regularly, but because it's always advertised on Meetup, I'm always getting brand new people to come. So that's been a really great source of meeting people. And then those people that tend to come to networking things, they tend to go to other networking things. And so they're all pretty well connected. And so that's been a great way to get my foot in just to the community, is just meeting some of those people and then going to other things with them, having them introduce you around, that sort of thing. So that's been good. If you are a religious person, of course, you can join a church. I am going tonight to a meeting for a society of ladies called PEO Sisters. So it is kind of a secret organization. So I can.
Secret no more.
So I'm going to that tonight, but so just find a group that you can kind of connect with. Obviously meetup.com I use for networking, but you can go on there and find lots of other groups. They have hiking groups, biking groups, whatever that looks like. So I would say don't only look at real estate related things. You don't just have to go to real estate functions to network. If you love to bike ride, then start a bike group. If you love to read books, then go to a book group. When you're the one realtor in that room, you don't ever have to talk about the fact that you're a realtor. Someone will always bring it up. Someone will always ask you, hey, Laura, what's the market doing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this commission structure, how has this affected your business? I don't say a word that just always gets brought
it
up.
It does. Yeah.
So yeah, it's great networking, even though it's not a specific to networking kind of event. So.
You know, yeah, I think, and for those listening that maybe aren't realtors who would think about starting up a business somewhere else, I think, you know, there's so many new things that you can do online. Meetup, I've heard a lot about Meetup. I've obviously not used it because I'm the native here, but if I were moving somewhere, that is definitely an app that I would use. And like you said, not just for doing business, but just getting out in your community and learning, because you didn't only just have to build a new business, you needed to learn all about your new community and what was important to people there and trying to cultivate new relationships so that you could get leads, and not just leads, but people that you could, you're building a whole new thing, right? You're not just building a new business, you're building a new life, essentially. So I think those are great tips. Was there anything that was, a challenge? Maybe that's what I'm trying to ask. Was there anything that you can think of that was presented really a challenge that others might face moving a business or starting a new business in a different town? What was the most challenging? I guess that's maybe the way I should ask that question.
The most challenging is, well, part of it is ego, right? Because you've got to realize, hey, I've been a realtor for 10 years, but you just started over and you just started over in a new state with new ways of doing things. You don't know this community. I remember going to some of my first meetings with the brokerage I started with here, and the agents would talk about listings they have coming up, and they would never say the city. They would only say the subdivision. And I would sit there like, I have no idea where these houses are. I don't know what town we're in. What are we talking about? Fort Collins? Are we talking about Windsor, Plymouth? Where are we? But right. You feel too insecure to raise your hand and be like, oh, what? Where is that subdivision? You should know. So really just kind of learning the territory, learning the ropes. And then there are people that are native here, of course. And so they're going to lean into that as they promote themselves. They're native. They know the area. So I have to lean into, I relocated. I can teach you how to relocate. And so if you are moving here for the first time, you know, where are you moving from? Let's talk about the differences between where you live and Colorado and learn from me and what I learned when I moved. So kind of trying to lean that direction and take what could be looked at as a weakness as a positive. And then, yeah, just besides learning the area, learning the laws, and just constantly educating yourself. Don't assume you know just because you did it in Missouri, because it's not the same in Colorado, you know. So they do things the same way. Don't assume they handle the contracts the same way, the inspections the same way. That's just a lot of different ways of doing things and just trying to learn it all. It has been a challenge, but I've risen to the challenge. So
That's awesome. We're going to take a short break.
I was just getting ready.
Okay.
We're going to take a short break and hear a word from our sponsors.
We are. And then I've got a question related to that conversation when we come back. Okay, we're back. Laura, so you were just talking about how the challenges that you had to overcome starting a new real estate business in Colorado. You mentioned that you didn't know these subdivisions agents were talking about. So how did you get to know your community? Did you just get in the car and spend hours driving around to get to know where roads were and subdivisions? What did that look like?
Tour. Go on property tour. So the brokerage I was with at that point, they would tour every week and I was always on tour. And that is the best way to do it. So again, if you're changing areas as a realtor, I would definitely look for a brokerage that does still do broker tours, because that's a huge help. If your brokerage doesn't do it, a lot of times title companies will advertise for other brokers that, you know, are hosting broker tours. Go on those. Going to new construction neighborhoods. We have a lot of new construction here. So I live on what we call the Front Range, and it's the I-25 corridor that goes north from Denver. And that whole area has been nothing for a very long time. And with the boom since COVID, it is now all new housing. And so that is an advantage to me, because even if you're a native here, that never used to be the case. It used to be vacant land. Now it's housing. So it's just as new to everybody else as it is to me.
Right. Yeah.
But so going into those, go to their model homes, talk to their sales reps, find out what products they offer, what incentives they are offering. That is one big thing that's different out here, is that every builder has their own lender and they want to offer incentives for you to use their lender. And if you don't use their lender, you don't get the incentives. So didn't feel legal when I first moved here, but apparently it is. so that's one thing. But yeah.
Great answer.
Yeah. So Colorado was one of the first states to pass legalized marijuana. Is there anything in terms of disclosure that you guys have to do there with regard to marijuana?
Nothing more than anywhere else. I mean, it's in the real estate contract of you know, if you have used it as a grow facility or something, you would have to disclose it, same as if you had done any other drugs on the property. So yeah, it's, but nothing above and beyond.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Laura, when you lived here, and one of the ways that you and I really got to be good friends is you were involved in volunteering at our board. And you did that for multiple years. And so we shared a lot of those same experiences. When you went to Colorado, is that something that you tried to do? Did you try to get involved in their local board? How did that work?
Yeah, so that was different too. So I was very involved with our board in Missouri. And so when I moved here, I had a pretty good resume to give to the Fort Collins Board of Realtors of all the things I had done. And they were like, oh my God,
we
want you.
We need her.
Because they do not do any of it. They do not get involvement. Agents really are just part of the board just for their MLS access. And the board will do some educational CE classes. You can go to those. But I went to a couple of different committees. I was not having fun. So I was like, okay, there's got to be other ways I can get involved. So what I did join is WCR. So Women's Council of Realtors. I went ahead and joined that. Very fun group of women. Have gone on a limo tour previously and looking at some luxury property. So that I have gotten involved with. And then I actually switched boards. So that's the other thing. Out here, there are multiple real estate boards. Yeah. So didn't realize that when I first moved here. I went straight to the Fort Collins board because that's where we moved. And I don't live in Fort Collins anymore. And so there's a board closer to me. And it actually does more. It does more than Fort Collins did. It has monthly coffees and it has monthly happy hours. And so there's more stuff you can do to actually just be engaged socially and network with your fellow brokers with the other board.
That's interesting.
It is. Mm-hmm. So for a point of reference, Laura, where you live now, what's the population of where you live now?
Oh gosh, Angie, you're putting me on the spot.
Roughly. I mean, I'm just trying to make the point that, some people out there might be thinking that, well, yeah, if you live in a larger town, that's easier to do because there's a lot more options, right?
Right.
If you're moving to Springfield, Missouri, and rather than Bolivar, you know, there's a lot more options. Yeah. And so I was just curious, like roughly what the population was or what size town really that you're in.
So I am in what I would call commuter town. Okay. I live right off the interstate and it's been perfect for my real estate because I can get on the interstate and go north and south and go wherever I need to cover. But the town itself is probably 20,000 people.
Okay. So fairly small. And yet you've been able to build a business by getting in and networking with people. So that's interesting. Yep. Then what size of board are you in now?
So I haven't looked at I'm in the Loveland Board of Realtors. I was at Fort Collins and Fort Collins had, I want to say 1600 realtors.
Okay.
And I would imagine Loveland is probably close. And to give you perspective on that, those two cities are 20 minutes apart.
Okay.
And Ozark had their own board and then Springfield had its own board.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. So does each town, like does Denver have their own board and is that really how it goes?
Denver has their own board and then Boulder and Longmont, two other communities north of Denver but south of me, have a combined board. So there's a Boulder Longmont board, Denver board, Fort Collins board, Loveland board. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
And do your listings cross over?
Yes. So I have to have two MLS subscriptions up here. Okay. So I'm part of IRIS MLS and RE Colorado. And RE Colorado will go all the way down to Colorado Springs.
Oh, wow.
So I can view listings down there. And so reference, that's 2 to 2.5 hour drive down to Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. But then there are different MLSs for the mountains. So if you're trying to go up to Breckenridge or Winter Park or something like that, you will have a different MLS for up there. Okay. Yeah. So, but they do send listings to each other. So if you're a member of just RE Colorado or just IRIS, you'll still get all the listings from both. But it helps. I'm able to cover an hour radius basically of where I am. So I'll go down to Denver and then I'll go up to the border of Wyoming. And pretty much that's an hour radius from where I sit.
That makes sense.
And that's about what we do here. Yeah. I mean, roughly, yeah. You know, when people ask me what's your area of expertise, I will say, you know, up to an hour around Springfield.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about second home market. I don't know if you're in an area like we, you know, down at the lake, we sell a lot of second homes. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's an interesting market and curious if you do a lot of second homes there where you are.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people that would love to have second homes here. But what they find out is, so a lot of them want to do it up in the mountains or up in the canyon. Mm-hmm. And then they start to learn about the water and they start to learn about the fire risk and they start to learn about the insurance issues you run into by mm-hmm. having a property, and they don't tend to buy that second home.
Mm. Okay.
Got it.
And that's for me where I sit. Those are the second homes people are looking at, the ones that are going up into the canyon. But for the people that service the Winter Park, Breckenridge, Aspen, all those areas, yes, there's tons of second homes up there. I just don't travel quite that far. That's about 2.5 hours for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Is there anything in practicing in Colorado that just drives you crazy, or have you gotten used to all of those different mineral rights and water issues and anything else?
So the water and mineral is always fun. Radon is a big issue out here. Mm-hmm. And so I had a radon test that came back last week that the average was like 56.
Mm, wow.
Yeah, and for reference, people that don't know radon, you're supposed to be below 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a big deal out here. So that is a test we do for every single property, and most homes do end up getting radon mitigation. And then we have expansive soil out here. So you show homes and you will see a lot of cracked driveways, a lot of cracked concrete. And that is because the soil beneath us expands and contracts a lot. And so another thing you do for every home inspection here is a sewer scope, because you need to make sure that the sewer lines are intact properly. And if they're not, I've had this happen to some sellers where you have to excavate, and it can get really tricky depending on where the excavation needs to be. It could be under your driveway. It could just be in the middle of the yard, which is always easiest. It could be under a deck, you know, so things might have to get dismantled for the excavation, because you end up with sewer lines that have bellies or low lying areas in them that need to get corrected, or that it just came apart altogether. So yeah, that's a fun one.
That is fun.
So on average, what are your buyers paying in inspection fees before they even, you know, get to the loan? Let's not even, you know, additional, right. They're going to have fees for the loan, but what are they spending in inspections on average?
So probably $1,000. You're probably looking
a couple of thousand.
Yeah. Okay. You've got your basic home inspection is about $600, and then you're going to add on radon and you're going to add on your sewer scope. So just over 1,000 usually.
Over 1,000.
Over 1,000. Okay. Okay.
Got it. And is your closing days about the same? We're about 30 to 45 days. Are yours longer or are they the same?
They're the same. Yep.
Okay. So
closing in 30 days. That's the other thing. Closing table. A lot of times it's very common for everyone to sit at the table together.
Okay.
You will have buyer, seller, both agents and the lender, all the table together. And the first closing I went to that way, I almost walked out because I was like, oh, am I in the wrong room? And no, we're all doing this together. Okay. That's how this is going to work.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it used to be that way around
so
here.
Too. Yeah.
Years ago.
Somehow we got away from that and now we take them separately, but
What about pre-inspections, Laura? Is that a thing in Colorado for the seller to do a pre-inspection on the property?
It is a thing. Every agent has their own mindset on whether or not they suggest it. Of course, anything you know of that is an issue, you have to disclose. And so that's kind of one viewpoint of not doing it, because as a realtor, if you are aware that your client had a pre-inspection, now you have to disclose everything from that pre-inspection to the buyer. But on the flip side of that, it could give the buyer peace of mind. You know, the seller can tackle some of those things and not have anything surprising come up during the course of the contract. So I see both sides of it. But there's the other side too of just every inspector's a little bit different. So we get probably 50-50, I would say, are doing it and versus not. So I recommend more than anything the home warranty. So even if you're not going to do a pre-inspection, let's just get a home warranty on your home as a seller so that you have some extra coverage. If something comes up during that inspection, you might be able to use that warranty for that. So,
yeah, great tip.
Yeah.
So if you were going to recommend someone move to Colorado, what do you love the most about living there? Not having to do with what your job is, but what are the best places you found to visit?
Good question. So when we first moved here, we thought, okay, so we're not moving to Florida like we thought. And we said, well, why don't we live in the mountains and vacation at the beach? Well, we haven't done that at all because we have spent all of our time vacationing in Colorado. So that is probably one of my favorite things is there's so many cool places, so many cool mountain towns, great scenery, great places to go. And it's all within like 2 to 3 hours of a drive. So you can take a nice quick weekend and go up to Estes Park, up to Grand Lake, to Breckenridge, to Aspen, wherever you want to go, down to Telluride. Boulder is a fun community. So just so many really great places to see and things to go do. Some of my favorites highlights down in Colorado Springs, the zoo is definitely like my favorite zoo ever. You get to feed giraffes when you walk in and it's tucked into the mountain. So great scenery down there. And then while you're down there, also go to Garden of the Gods. That is absolutely stunning. And pro tip for that, they don't let cars enter till noon. So we took our bikes and we got in before noon and we were able to bike the whole park without any cars anywhere and see the whole park by a bike ride, which was beautiful. Biking is huge out here. So if you're an avid biker, definitely you'll enjoy that. There are bike trails everywhere. And I think Fort Collins is in the top three of cities in the country for bikeability. So it's tons and tons of biking. So I just love all the outdoor aspect of it. And yes, while we get snow and yes, while it is cold, it'll be sunny and 70 the very next day. So it goes away quickly. It melts quickly. And it's dry here. So when it is cold, it doesn't feel as cold because there's no moisture in the air. And it's hot. It doesn't feel as hot because you don't have that humidity. Yeah. So yeah, love it.
Those are great tips.
They are. I was just having a conversation with someone the other day about Colorado and the hiking. Obviously, you got lots of mountain hiking. So if you want something that's challenging, it's a great place to go. And then, it seems like everybody owns a bike, right? That's just the thing to do while you're there.
Hiking for people here, it's like, let's go on a quick 6 mile hike. And you're like, 6 miles. Like nothing for people out here. So you kind of got to get used to that. It's a lot of fun though.
So Lauren, as we kind of start to wrap up, just I'm really curious if you have any like tips other than what we've talked about, tips for moving a business, relocating a business, anything that you can think of that we haven't already covered?
So I would say figure out kind of your niche so you can kind of lean into that. We talked a little bit about, how I leaned more into the fact that I relocated here and I can help people relocate. The other thing I was doing before I ever moved here was Homes for Heroes. And so I brought that with me here. And as a result, I work with a ton of heroes in the hero community. I partner with the lender on that, and we would go one Saturday a month to fire stations and drop off little Popeye gifts to firefighters. So just kind of find your niche and really just lean into that. There's a lot of shiny objects in real estate, especially, where you can throw away a lot of money and you can spend a lot of money and do your best to avoid that. You have to realize you're planting seeds and those seeds will eventually grow and bloom, but they take time. So don't just automatically start throwing money at things that you think are going to quickly get you leads or quickly get you business. Really invest in the things that are going to plant those seeds for that long-term business to come. I don't pay for leads. I do not. I will not.
Those are really great tips, though, because I imagine there's a sense of urgency that you feel of getting that business started. Mm-hmm. And I got to get a paycheck. I got to figure out when my first paycheck is going to be. But as we just recorded last week, a podcast on being a brand new realtor and how people often think, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. I'm going to get a paycheck within 30 days. And oftentimes it's not like that, even establishing a business where you've lived for many years. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that just talking your way off that cliff of getting excited or too anxious about when's my first paycheck, you've got to lay those seeds and lay that foundation first.
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
Yeah. Well, Laura, it's always great to see you. I miss you. I wish you were still here, but I'm so glad you're flourishing in Colorado.
Come back and visit me. Angie, you can come out too.
Yes, I would love to.
Absolutely. And we will make sure to promote you with this week's episode. And so if people are a realtor needing a referral partner, then we'll make sure they can find you.
Yeah. Yes.
Over the Front Range, Northern Colorado. I'm here for you.
Front Range. Got it. Well, thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've enjoyed this episode. And if there's someone starting a new business somewhere that it might be helpful for, please share this episode.
Yeah, we want to thank Gershman for recording with us today. Thanks, Laura. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.